morning, Harvest Church. Let's stand up. Who did you come to worship this morning? Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together as a family. And we thank you, Lord God, we enter into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise this day, expecting your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance. We thank you for teaching us today, speaking to our hearts that which we need in this hour, in Jesus' name.
Are you ready?
Inside me, holy fire burning wild, burning through the things I need to be erased, to liberate my soul. Be ready, there's an empty tomb. Be ready, there's a ghost in the room. Get ready, all the stories are true. Get ready, there's an empty tomb. Get ready, there's a ghost in the room. Get ready, even mountains move. Get ready, all the stories are true. has a name that levels mountains, calls out highways through the sea. I see its power unravel battles right over me. There's a faith that stands defying, sends Goliath to his knees. I've seen his praise unravel shackles right off my
There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus.
like the name. There's no power like the name of Jesus. There's no power like the name of Jesus. There's no power like the name of Jesus. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures of faith, never enough. Oh, there is nothing.
better than you. There is nothing better than you. There is nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there is nothing better than you. There is nothing better than you. There is nothing. Nothing is better than you. So I yield to you and to your faithfulness. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me comfort. Make me whatever. In the pressing, you are making wild. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand, please? I want to address you this morning by the Spirit. And I hear the words the Spirit of God say, "Did I not say in my word that I am a God that can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you might ask or think?" You're living in an hour that you must expand your vision. You're living in an hour that you must think bigger. It's time for my people to rise up and be the church. It's rise up and take the sword of the Spirit in your hand. Then you can possess the land. For I have bestowed upon you an authority that you must walk in every day of your existence. For your word, my word in your heart, my word in your mouth comes forth with power. So speak it forth even this very hour, and my word will set the captives free. So begin to think like you've been ordained by me to think. Think big, for I'm a God that can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you might ask or think. Know that you have a destiny to fulfill. So keep your eyes on me. Set your affections on things above. And listen to the voice of wisdom. For if you do not listen to the voice of wisdom, you will be hurt. And you will not be successful in the days ahead. But if you'll attend to my word, incline thine ear unto my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thine heart, there'll be life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So make sure you're listening to the voice of wisdom. You'll be blessed, and your family will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Say this with me. I will obey the voice of wisdom. I will think bigger. I will use my authority in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, look at your neighbor and say, you're blessed.
We have a lot going on in the month of March, so let me go through this quickly. If you have not picked these up, we have these in the foyer, and we're doing a month-long reading challenge concerning the Word of God, concerning the resurrection. And so we have these. You can follow these. It started March 1st, but you can catch up. They're not that long. They go till Easter. There's extras back there if you'd like to give some away. I want to make one clarification on this. Like, tomorrow is day 4, and it goes from Luke 19:45 through 20. And there's just some confusion on that. So that's Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 45, through chapter 20. So if there's a couple different ones like that, so just to bring understanding on that. So I'd encourage you to do that and pick those up in the back. Next week, daylight savings time starts. Don't complain. I love daylight savings time. So you just need to remember to spring forward. On Friday, March 22nd, from 6:30 to 9:30, and Saturday, March 23rd, from 9 to 12, we were hosting a couples event, a marriage seminar. There's information on the bulletin board. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And it's not too late to sign up. We will not offer a meal with that night, but we will have light snacks and refreshments. And you're welcome to invite couples from outside the church. We just encourage you to attend that. Of course, Good Friday is on March 29th. We'll have a service at 7 p.m. with communion, and then the Easter service is March 31st. We will not have our weekly midweek Bible study or service this week. Instead, we are starting our in-home Bible study fellowships. They will go for 6 weeks. Out in the lobby, there's a cart. We have a few books left. We have the questionnaires for the first chapter that we will be doing, and we'll have the information sheets. So if you need that, that's out there. The books are $15. You can just put that money in the offering and mark book. If you're not signed up, you can talk to me afterwards, and we'll get you appointed to a different Bible study. They start at 7 o'clock this Wednesday night, and they will go for 6 weeks. So if you have any questions, make sure you ask. We encourage that. Not only is it good for the foundational study of the Word, but you just get to know people. You should have a good time in fellowship. We will have the one out here. There will be one group that meets out here and the kids. So if you have kids, you can talk to Brad and Court, Brad or Courtney, and bring them here. They're going to have their own Bible study. So I think that's all the announcements today. We're just going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. So if you have your tithes and offerings, ushers, you may go ahead and receive those.
God, there's an anointing. There's always an anointing, but I can't stress enough to you, and I think sometimes we fail to realize that we're part of something big. Something big. And you should be excited. You should have an expectancy in your heart. And you should have a desire to be a part of it. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, how many of you men like action movies? Action movies. How many of you women like action movies? How many have ever seen the franchise Taken with Liam Neeson? Probably one of the best. So this morning, I'm going to open up with a clip from this. And so I've got a lot to tell you today. So are you listening? Are you on the edge of your chairs, spiritually speaking? Amen. Let's play this, please.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Amen. Is he a man of his word, or was he a man of his word? If you saw the movie, first one's the best, I think. Liam Neeson's character in the movie, Taken, knew who he was and knew what he could do to his enemy. A believer in Christ should be no different. Our particular skill set, our authority in Christ, is the true possession of every believer, whether he or she knows it or not. In this hour, God's delegated authority must be exercised and enforced in order to disrupt Satan's kingdom and advance the kingdom of God. We're going to start a series. Look in Matthew, please, chapter 28. Matthew 28. We'll probably be on this subject for a while, at least through Easter. We're going to talk about the believer's authority in Christ. The believer's authority in Christ. Our text is from Matthew 28. It's familiar to you, I'm sure. It says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. You have an outline there, and we'll probably follow that outline this morning. So if you don't want to take notes, you'll have the scriptures. Luke chapter 10, this verse 17 says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the what? Power or authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What is authority? What is authority? There are probably four or five Greek words for authority. Some see it, it'll be translated power, or some it will be authority. And I want to look at this Greek word for authority. In fact, we'll see it here in Luke chapter 10, because we read, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power." Now, that's New King James, and that's correct, because that first word, power, should be authority. And the next one is different, okay? So, this word exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, is the word that we're addressing today or talking about today. But there's also another word for power or authority. Power especially. You know what that word is? Dunamis. We have dunamis power. But I want to concentrate on exousia. And the Amplified Bible says it this way: "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions." And all that does is represents demonic enemies, "and physical and mental strength and ability over all," do you hear that? "All the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you." This word exousia in the Greek means the authority or lawful right to act. The authority or lawful right to act. Exousia is the right to use dunamis or might. And simply, its authority is delegated power. Say it. Authority is delegated power. Now, I don't know about you, but there's certain things on YouTube I like to watch. I like to watch all the policemen and how they deal with idiot criminals. I watched one yesterday. This guy was running from the cop, and you could hear his engine. He had an engine in that car of his, and the guy couldn't get away from the cop. finally he rammed the perp and stopped him, and I knew they'd run, but they caught him. But if a policeman would stand up in an intersection, do you think he could stop a car in the natural? He'd get run over. But all he has to do is, and what happens? They stop. I mean, I see him many times when I do funerals and the policeman's out there ahead of time and he's got the traffic, and boy, do they stop. Yeah. There's always some stupid criminal that will, not listen to authority or obey authority. But see, he represents authority. And that's what you and I need to realize. We represent the ultimate authority, God Almighty. And he's delegated that authority to you and I. Do you believe that? Look at Mark chapter 3. This is a good example of delegated authority. And you know it well. Mark 3 verse 13. Mark chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be what? With him. And that he might send them out to preach and to have what? Power. There's that power word, or that Greek word exousia, to heal sicknesses, to cast out demons. There is authority. How many of you know there's authority in the blood of Jesus? There is authority in the name of Jesus. Look at John chapter 14. John 14. Then I want to read a couple excerpts from some authors on authority. John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, how many of you believe in Jesus? The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is a wonderful devotion, and I really should order them for everybody. I got this copy from the blanks. You know that guy? Chad? And he gives this comment on Matthew 28, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now listen to me. You better listen carefully. Are you listening? He says, look at the ministry of Jesus on the earth and see all the miracles that he performed. Then consider his statement in John 14, 12, that those who believe in him would do the same works that he did, and even greater works. Have you ever thought about that? Greater works. Some Christians have dared to believe it, but even then, we've allowed an unrighteous mindset to stick with us. We still think we need more power, more authority, more this and more that to get the job done. Well, let me help you out with this nonsense. Now, are you listening? Because this will go over your head if you're not listening. When Jesus sent the 12 disciples out to heal the sick, Jesus said, I give you authority over sickness and disease. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Afterwards, when the ministry became larger, Jesus sent out 70 more disciples and said the same thing. In John 17, 5, when Jesus was praying to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, now, Father, restore unto me the glory and honor I had before I came to the earth. In other words, now listen, Jesus wasn't walking in everything he had in heaven. You can see this also in Philippians chapter 2, 7. You can look that up. Now listen. So when we couple together all of Jesus' statements, we see something extraordinary during Jesus' earthly ministry. He wasn't walking in all authority heaven had to offer. Pause. So that sinks in. Only after his death, burial, and resurrection was Jesus given all authority and all power in heaven and in earth. Are you listening? So what does that mean for you and me? It means we can do the works of Jesus and even greater works because we are operating in more authority than Jesus was when he was on the earth. I'm going to read that again. So what does that mean for me and you? It means we can do the works of Jesus and even greater works because we're operating in more authority than Jesus was when he was on the earth. I know that's tremendously a bold thing to say, but it's true. Jesus reveals his increase in authority in Matthew 28. Jesus didn't send out the disciples with all authority and power until after his resurrection. Why? He didn't have it. But thank God, now he does. Why? Death, burial, and resurrection. And because he does, we do. After his defeat of Satan, Jesus gave us what he obtained. We are one with Christ as he is, so are we in this world. You don't need more authority, more power, more anointing, more gifts. Stop waiting for more. Oh, I want more of you. We've sung that. We better not sing it anymore. Stop waiting for more. You have all authority to get the job done. You can do it just like Jesus and have the same or the very same results. And his confession is this: I have authority over Satan and all of his friends. I have authority over all sickness and disease. I don't need more because I have more than enough. I have an ample supply to get the job done. I can expect to have the same results as Jesus. Does that make your brain go tilt? We are the body. The head is who? We're the body. I thought my feet were hooked to my body. Where's Satan? There are too many Christians out there all worked up to a lather because all that's going on and all that's will go down here in the days, weeks, months ahead. Just remember, you have authority. That's powerful. Amen. Look at Ephesians 6. I'm going to say something to you, and I don't want you to take this wrong. I've had people say I'm arrogant. A lot of times, arrogant people are just know who they are. What's that? Yeah, it's confidence. Now, look at Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Some of us just need to cop an attitude like Liam Neeson. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be what? Strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now listen, I'm going to go on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles or the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against what? There's the word powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, devils have delegated authority. You have different levels. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. They have delegated authority. And they do what their master tells them to do. Amen? Now, let me read this to you. The reason I read it to you, because it's just, it comes across, I think, better. And this is Rick Renner and his comments on, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He says this, the phrase in the Lord is a Greek phrase that means that this special infusion of dynamic supernatural power can be found only in one place, in the Lord. The fact that Paul wrote in this particular Greek case is very important because it tells us that this power is locked up in the person of Jesus Christ so that it can't be found anywhere else. You can't obtain this supernatural power by reading books or listening to tapes. Now, there's nothing wrong with listening to tapes or reading books. The books and tapes can direct you to the place where it can be found. But the power itself can only be obtained through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got Jesus, you got power. No Jesus, no power. This power is locked up, now here's the phrase, in the Lord. Now let me take this one step further so kind of I can explain why it's so easy and uncomplicated for you to receive a new infilling of God's power in your life. This same locative case that describes the power of God being locked up inside Christ is used 9 times in Ephesians 1. He says, because these phrases are in the locative case, Paul is saying we have actually been placed inside Jesus Christ. He has become our realm of existence and the place of our habitation. And this scripture came to me. In him we live and move and have our being. Just as you live at a certain physical address, you also have a spiritual address. You permanently reside in the Son of God. He's your permanent home, a home from which you will never move because you're locked up and securely placed inside in him perpetually. Stay with me, because this now leads us to the reason that the supernatural power of God we desperately need is so easy to receive. The reason God's power is so accessible to us is that both we and this divine power are gloriously locked up inside the same place. The power is located inside the Lord. And we are also located inside the Lord. We may not always be mentally aware of it, but we're constantly rubbing elbows with this divine power on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour, and minute-to-minute basis. Let me use a simple illustration to help you get this point across. In fact, the fact that we reside inside Jesus, along with God's power, can be someone likened to water and fish sharing the same space in an aquarium. The water and fish are definitely different in substance, but they both reside in the same tank. Does that make sense? The tank serves as the home for these two substances that are held simultaneously within its walls. Therefore, the fish doesn't have to release its faith to get into the water, for it's already perpetually living in water. The very fact we're locked up inside the Lord along with the Holy Spirit's supernatural power means we're never far away from a new surge of superhuman power into our human spirits. A fresh surge of this power into us is as accessible as our very next breath of air. Let me read that again. That's good. Would you agree? He said, a fresh surge of this power into us is as accessible as our very next breath of air. It's just as normal for us to receive a new infilling of the Spirit as it is for a fish to freely swim around in its tank. In fact, God has designed our lives in Christ in such a way that it would be very difficult for us not to freely receive the impartation of superhuman, supernatural strength for the fight. However, if we are to experience this ever available, ever near power, we must open our hearts to it and ask God to release it into our lives. Then by faith, we must reach out to embrace it. This means there's no need to beg, plead, or beat yourself up in prayer to somehow prove that you're good enough to receive this divine power. If you know Jesus Christ, you're already locked up in the same place with the power of God. In fact, you're rubbing elbows with it all the time. It's no more difficult to receive than it is for a fish to start swimming. It's yours for the taking. You are surrounded by God's supernatural power right now at this very moment. You are immersed in that divine power. Supernatural inner strength and ability is yours for the taking. So take it by faith. I hope you're listening. I started to say this when I talked about people mistaking my confidence for arrogance, but I'm going to say something. Just what I told you is not taught or preached, I would say, in any of the other churches in this community. They don't know who they are. They don't know they have an authority in Christ. Amen. But that puts responsibility on your shoulders and mine. You will be held. You will stand before the judgment seat of God. And you will be held accountable for what you did or didn't do down here. And you've heard what I've told you. And if you're not walking, and if I'm not walking in that authority, then we're in disobedience. You're awful quiet. The value of the delegated authority or power depends on the force behind the user. God himself is behind that authority. Let me say that again. The value of delegated authority or power depends upon the force behind the user. God himself is behind this authority. Now, I've told you, some of you have heard this dream I had when I was a young man, just starting out in the ministry, moved to Norfolk. We were bombarded with a lot of issues and a lot of things. There was a lot of witchcraft going on back then, and there were some dark times. And I, at that point, to be honest with you, didn't know my authority in Christ. Just because you go to Bible school and graduate doesn't mean you know anything. Caden's got a lot to learn. You're not going to get it by going to Bible school. You're going to get it when you get out and you experience, and you have some skirmishes with the devil, and you have skirmishes with unbelievers. Amen? Now, the dream I had, I was having panic attacks, and back then, gosh, they didn't even know what a panic attack was. How many have ever had a panic attack? They're not fun, are they? In fact, I woke up one time and told my wife I thought I was having a heart attack. And it wasn't a heart attack. It was a panic attack. It was fear. And I went back to sleep and I had a dream. And in the dream, I was walking on a beach. And a lion came at me. I mean, a big lion. Not a little pussycat. A big lion. And he jumped on me. And we ended up in the water. In the ocean, we're rolling around, and I held that lion down under the water in my dream. Stepped back, he came out onto the beach and wagged his tail and walked away. Now, that didn't take rocket science to figure that out. Water represents the washing of the water of the Word. And I held that lion down under the washing of the water of the Word. And see, that's how we all got to deal with our lions. You don't run. Our flesh wants to run. Fear wants you to run. But in this hour, you're going to have to face your lion. And you can't do it in yourself. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Greater is he that is in than he that is in the world. Let's close. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1:18. When I pray for you during the week, and I pray for you on a Sunday morning, I pray your ears, your spiritual ears are open to hear. I pray your ears are open to hear today. Who are you? You are son or daughter of the Most High God. You are Liam Neeson's character in the movie Taken. Ephesians 1, look at verse 18. I pray this. I had different prayers. I pray Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians during the week. But this is so good. In verse 18, it says, Paul says, he's basically praying, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his what? Power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and what? Seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that can be named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Look at chapter 2 and look at verse 4. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up together. Say together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you and I, spiritually speaking, seated right now? At the right hand of the Father where Jesus is. All authority. All, say all authority. And power has been delegated to us. The believer must know that he or she possesses delegated authority from God. But that's not enough. He or she must exercise his God-given authority over the devil. Amen. Say, I have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, I'm going to close the service this way. This is a little different. And I wished I could have invited Liam Neeson here today. I can't do his Scottish brogue. But I rewrote that 40-second clip you heard. So I'm going to read it to you. Will you close your eyes? Don't go to sleep. And listen very carefully to what I'm about to read you. I'll try to do it in Liam Neeson's voice. I do know who you are, liar, deceiver, thief, and adversary. I do know what you want to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're looking for ransom, my sins have already been paid in full by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Just so you know, I possess a particular set of skills that I acquired when Jesus Christ became my Lord and Savior. Skills, or should I say, an authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. A delegated authority from the Most High God that makes me a nightmare for your demon host. I'm not ignorant of your devices. I know you will never stop harassing God's people and spreading your demonic propaganda till you are cast into the bottomless pit. Therefore, I will continue to put on the whole armor of God that I might be able to stand against your schemings. I will submit to God, resist you, and you must flee in terror. I will overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I will preach the gospel, cast out demons, speak in tongues. I will pray for the sick and they will recover. I will not fear you. I will not run from you. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty will put an end to you. Amen. And all God's people said, Harvest Church, do you know who you are? Do you know what you can do to your enemy? Most of you will have an opportunity this week. Oh, don't prophesy that, Pastor. It's just a fact. You'll have to deal with it. But if you don't know who you are, you'll run. You'll be afraid. You'll hide under the bed. Stand up and be a lion. Stand up and be a lion. Stand up! Be a lion. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Father, I thank you for revelation knowledge and understanding coming to your people at Harvest Church in this hour. You've not given them a spirit of fear or cowardice, but a power and of love, a sound, disciplined mind. No weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. The greater one resides in you. So act like it. The greater one resides in you. So speak like the greater one. Know that you can be confident every day of your life because of Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. It's time to move forward. It's time to overcome sin. It's time, church, to rise up, take the sword in hand, and deliver the inhabitants of the land. You're a priest. You're a king. You're God's special ones. So meditate on that, especially on Monday morning, when you don't feel like it, and circumstances dictate otherwise. You rise up and say, no, this is the way my week will be. This is how it will go down. Let your enemy, Satan, know who you are. Throw your shoulders back. And you go on the attack. Renew your minds. Do the word. Practice it. Meditate upon it. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy people. That's who you are. Amen. Every eye closed and no one looking around. I don't want to forget that sometimes that we have people that don't know Jesus because they've never made him Lord and Savior. If you're to hear today, and if you were to die this very instant and breathe your last breath, let me ask you this, where would you go? Well, I don't know. I hope I'd go to heaven. Hope doesn't get you to heaven. It's faith in Jesus and the blood of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So salvation's an eternal life is a free gift. You can't earn it. By grace you are saved. All you have to do, all I have to do is receive it by faith. God loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose for everyone in this room. And God expects you to fulfill that plan and purpose. Not alone, but in his Son. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for me. I believe he died for me. I believe he shed his blood for me. I believe he was buried and resurrected and is at the right hand of the Father now. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I ask you to enter into my heart. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. Jesus, I declare, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Not my will, your will be done. You have my heart. You have my whole being. Use me for your glory in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to pray. We'll pray for the sick. Anybody that needs, I want to pray for Bev. She contacted me and the doctor's saying that she's got problems with valves in her heart. Well, let's pray for her. Anybody else? I don't want you to leave today without prayer. That's why you came. Kathy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come in agreement today as a family for Bev. We take our authority in the name of Jesus and we bind up infirmity. We speak to this heart and command every valve to function as God ordained it to. Fear is bound in Jesus' name. Faith, hope, and trust in Almighty God is loosed. Thank you, Lord, for not only her Savior, but Jesus, you're her healer. So, Lord God, we're putting our trust in you today. You're the strength of her heart. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural recovery. You're a miracle-working God, so work a miracle for Bev in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What are we? Oh, my. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the enemy, infirmity, sickness, anything that would attack this vessel. She's your temple. We bind up infirmity. And Lord, we thank you. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. So we loose that yoke-breaking anointing today for her in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your mercy for Tom. Lord, we thank you that you're his Savior, healer, and provider. Lord, everything that he's dealing with in this hour, we ask you, Lord God, to move because of your love for him, your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. So thank you, Lord, for blessing him this day in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 We're going to be in agreement as a church body. Nate was rushed to the hospital from Humphrey. They thought he had a heart attack. They found a blood clot in his lung. He's on a blood thinner now. They tell him that he can't work for 6 months. He's no fool. He knows the word and he knows what he needs to do. I've already prayed, but let's just be in agreement for him and the whole family. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your servant. Thank you, Lord God, for Nate, their family. And we come in agreement that the devourer is rebuked in the name of Jesus. There's a hedge of protection around them, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper in the days ahead. Thank you, Lord. He shall fulfill his destiny, for he's your workmanship created in Christ to do good works, which you completed in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for finishing that good work in him. With long life, you'll satisfy him and show him your salvation in the name of Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for supernatural recovery. And we pray, Lord, the doctors that deal with him will not medicate him unnecessarily, Lord God. And we thank you that doctor will walk in wisdom, heaven's wisdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, anything else? Lot today. Don't forget the Bible study. And one other announcement. When she was talking about the marriage thing, listen to me. Your church, your family will be no stronger than its relationships. In other words, if you don't have a good relationship, a husband and wife, your family's going to suffer. If you don't have good relationships at Harvest Church, you're going to have problems. That's why we're doing this. So, yeah, I know men might not want to. Maybe some of the women don't want to. But if you value your family, and if you value the church, you'll sign up. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.